Thanks for joining us on the Friday Night Groove-a-thon, known as Freddie and Fitzsimmons. He's Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Anytime a guest stops by to hang out with us and share their knowledge and share their fun as well, they're here thanks to the Goodyear Hotline. It is a pleasure to bring back in Will Middlebrooks, who played for Boston, San Diego, Milwaukee, and the Texas Rangers during his Major League Baseball career. As a matter of fact, he won a World Series championship back in 2013. And check out his podcast, the Wake and Rake podcast. He is here on Freddie Fitzsimmons. Well, the last time you and I talked, we were talking about Major League Baseball cracking down on pitchers using foreign substances, illegal substances. Before the crackdown, batting averages were about 245. Since the crackdown, they're about 247. WOBA, for those who are stat geeks, they know what that is. Before the crackdown, 311. After the crackdown, 322. Did Major League Baseball get it right by putting these crackdowns in?
Oh, man, I hate talking about this, but I know we have to. first off, thanks for having me back, because it was the first time. It's like a first date. I didn't know if I was going to get a call back, but I did, and here we are. So
you didn't get sent back down, man. You're not on that iron lung. You're still up.
I still got it. But, no, listen. There's no place in the game for spider tack and pelican grip and whatever other concoction they want to make. There's no place for guys to use it as a performance enhancer as far as spin rate. Now, if you want to use it, you know, sunscreen, rosin, which I thought was totally fine. Most hitters would tell you sunscreen and rosin is totally fine. It's been used since way before I was even a thought. So the issue is guys using it to get 200 to 500 RPM jump in their fastballs, and you're taking mediocre pitchers and turning them into really good pitchers. So I listened to Theo Epstein talk about this yesterday when he was talking on CC Sabathia's podcast, and he said, look, this, we simply did this to even the playing field. So batting average is up, a tick, not a ton, but it is up. On base percentage is up because I think guys don't have grip, and I think there's more walks, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How much of this also is just an approach at the plate? I was talking to the great Rudy Jaramillo, who people don't know who Rudy is. He's one of the
Rudy. I used to go to his camps when I was a kid.
Dude, yeah, legendary hitting coach, the Texas Rangers, Chicago Cubs. I mean, and Rudy said if he had a player strike out more than 100 times in a season, then he viewed it as a failure. If his entire squad struck out more than 1,000 times in a season, he viewed it as a personal tragedy. So now you've got guys just swinging for fences. How much of what we're looking at when it comes to pitching dominance right now is just a flat-out approach at the plate?
Well, Rudy also, not to take anything away from Rudy because he's a legend, but he also wasn't staring. He wasn't standing on the top step staring at guys 95 to 100 every day. Every pitcher that comes out the bullpen throws upper 90s. Unless they're like a sidewinder, like guy from Miami or Trevor Rogers, those guys.
Right.
But every guy, even the starter, and the way it's structured now, even your starters are going to throw that hard because they don't have to last 7-8 innings. Your hitters only face a starter twice, and then they're getting mixed and matched with bullpen guys. So it's a different game. Hitting is much harder now. I will say that. I mean, even from when I came in the league in 2012, it's completely different. You look at velocity, movement, just the way pitchers are used, like I just said. And then analytics, man. You look at shifting. So in 2015, I think it was 22% of at-bats had some type of defensive shift. This year it's over 43% of at-bats have some type of defensive alignment shift.
Wow.
So that's taken away hits as well. And then, yes, it is a hitting approach problem because we're in the launch angle era of guys trying to lift the ball and hit homers because those are the guys that are being paid. And organizations are prioritizing power over contact, and I think it's going to start cycling back. I think you're starting to see successful teams like the Houston Astros, the Boston Red Sox, the Chicago White Sox prioritizing contact over power. You're seeing guys hit with two strikes, hit behind runners, hit against the shift.
Amen.
And those are the teams that are winning the division.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. Great stuff by Will Middlebrooks, former Major League Baseball player. Check out his podcast, Wake and Rake. Hit him on Twitter, Middlebrooks, joining Freddie Coleman and Ian Fitzsimmons on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. When I say Shohei Ohtani of the Angels, Will, what do you say?
I'm just disappointed he plays for the Angels, honestly.
Why?
because you have probably one of the players that's going to go down as the best player of all time, and Mike Trout, when it's all said and done. And you have Shohei Ohtani, who is a generational talent. We won't see another guy like him. Most people have never seen – actually, no one alive has seen anyone like him because no one's been around to see Babe Ruth.
Right.
This is – I don't want this to be normalized. I don't want us to get used to what we're seeing him do because there's a reason there's only one guy that is doing this. It's physically and mentally impossible to do this at the pinnacle of the sport. The best players in high school are able to play at the level he's playing at right now and do it both ways, and that's in high school. Think about that. Guys don't even do this in college like what he's doing. A handful of guys do it at the college level, and he's doing it at the highest level of baseball on planet Earth, and he's playing like a really good high school kid. It's 32 home runs, man, and we're halfway through the season, and then he has a nasty split finger, and he has 102 in the tank. It's incredible.
He's almost is he in your opinion almost transcending the game right now, where a younger generation is looking at him going, hey, that's Shohei, Shohei Ohtani, that's what I call him, Shohei, man, because he's just different. Is he transcending the game?
He is. I mean, I think he's bringing a lot more fans to the game, and the game mm-hmm. needed that, because with him being a foreign player, being a Japanese player, this is worldwide attention on Major League Baseball, not just the United States of America. And yeah, kids love this, man. This is something different. It's something out of the ordinary. You love Mike Trout. You love Fernando Tatis Jr. You love these faces of the game, but somehow Shohei is overshadowing these guys right now. He is.
Yep.
I didn't think anybody would. I thought Fernando Tatis was going to do exactly what he's doing this year, be the face of the game. It was going to be exactly who we were talking about for the next 10 years. And he was going to surpass Mike Trout as the best player in baseball. But we're not even talking about Fernando Tatis Jr. And it's insane, because we have to mix in sticky substance, and we have all this mess that's going on, and the new CBA and all this business side of things. And we're losing sight of how lucky we are to have this group of, this is the most athletic baseball players that have ever played the game at one time. And we have them right here in front of us.
Great stuff by Will Middlebrooks. Hit him on Twitter. Middlebrooks, former Major League Baseball player, joining me, Freddie Coleman and Ian Fitzsimmons on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. What else stood out to you from the first half with the All-Star break right around the corner, Will, in terms of good or bad? What else has jumped out to you other than Shohei Ohtani, what he's been able to do for the Angels in the first half?
I'll give you two teams. I'll give you a pleasant surprise. San Francisco Giants,
yeah.
Man. Where
yeah.
did they come from, bro? That's just – they were supposed to be the has-beens and never will-bes, and they're winning the West in what was supposed to be a two-horse race between San Diego and L.A. It's July 9th, and they're, 22 games above 500? They're still a game up on L.A. They're four games up on the Padres. They had a good first month, and I'm thinking, all right, they had a hot month, and that's it. And then, early May, they get swept at home against the Dodgers, and I'm thinking, this is the beginning of the downfall of the Giants. It's got to be. And then they went on to rattle off like 20 wins out of 25 games. So I'm going, all right, maybe they're real. Buster Posey, Longoria, Crawford, Belt, all these guys are supposed to be at the end of their careers, and a couple of them are having career years. And then their pitching staff was guys that were DFA'd, signed for one-year deals, traded, guys that no one else wanted. And, you got Kevin Gausman, he's 8-3 with a 1.7. You got DeScalfani, 9-3 with a 2.8. Alex Wood, he's bounced around. Then their bullpen. You can't even tell me guys that are in their bullpen. You don't know their names, but they're third in the league in ERA.
I couldn't tell you one. I really could. I'm not lying. I could not tell you one
exactly.
guy.
Exactly. 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 And they're like the West Coast Rays right now. Like they
True.
Pick up – they're like bottom feeders, and it's like the perfect recipe for success.
They're having success. Describe what you see with the Yankees. I know the Cubbies have won finally a couple, but what do you see with the Yankees and the Cubbies right now?
Well, the Yankees – gosh, man, they have so much talent, but,
right.
Everyone wants to point the finger at Aaron Boone. And I'm never one to blame the manager, because he's not out there swinging at bad pitches. He's not out there getting two-ball, three-ball counts. He's not the one not playing the game to his ability. He's the manager. And at this point in the game, where we're at in this era with analytics, there's only so much that are in his hands. So I'm looking more towards the front office and Brian Cashman. And the roster he constructed, the more and more I look at it, I'm going, this is a really right-handed heavy roster and lineup in a stadium that is built to be tailored to left-handed hitters, if you really think about it. And they're 17th in batting average. They're 25th in RBIs per game. They're they rely on the home run, which isn't conducive to winning baseball at all, like we talked about with the other teams that are contact first. And another thing is they're not making any call-ups. They have two kids. They have a kid, a Korean kid, who's an infielder, who could easily come up and outplay Gleyber Torres right now, but they haven't done it. They have a prospect, an outfielder that they can call up to play outfielder, but instead they're sticking with Gardner, who's hitting 189 and no production, no power. I just don't understand it. And they're going to have to make moves. They're going to have to probably trade Aroldis Chapman and Zach Britton and hope they can clear some money on the payroll so they can get a Trevor Story or someone like that to keep their fans engaged because they're not going to go to the playoffs.
Outstanding stuff by Will Middlebrooks, who played in the major leagues, won a World Series championship back in 2013. Great follow on Twitter, Middlebrooks, and check out his podcast, Wake and Rake Podcast, the daddy to Madison and McKenzie, joining Freddie Coleman and Ian Fitzsimmons on Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Will, great stuff, my friend. Can't wait to talk to you again sooner and soon. I promise we will not talk anything about Spite Attack or any kind of substance. We'll just talk baseball the next time, okay?
There'll be something else by then, guys. All right, I love that you said dad to Maddie and McKenzie. That made my night. Thank you for that.
I'll tell you this. What we'll do is we'll talk about how LaMichael James padded your passing stats when you were his quarterback in high school.
Listen. All right. We ran three plays. I right eight, LaMichael one. I left nine, LaMichael three. I mean, you just hand the ball to him. My hardest job that I had in football was running like a stretch play to the right, uh-huh. You know, and I had to run back to the sideline every play and get the play from the coach.
Right.
I'd be trotting back to the sideline and get the play, and I look, and he had reverse field, so I got to go block downfield. You know, it was crazy. He kept me in shape.
Have a great weekend, man. Thanks, Will.
Hey, man. You guys have a good one. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my goodness.
That's hilarious.
That's fantastic, brother.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Well, appreciate you again, my friend. We'll talk to you soon, and thanks once again, my man. Have a good weekend.
All right, guys. You as well.